members and friends, visitors with us at Blessed Savior here this evening. We're just about halfway through the Lenten journey of Joseph in this Lenten series. And certainly I commend Pastor Vern for putting together the service in a way that we can truly feel ourselves as a part of this worship experience. In the last few weeks, the stories have gone of Joseph up and down. He's been down in the dumps, and then he's been raised. He's had good days. He's had bad days. And as we know, the ending will eventually be, for Joseph, a good day, a good ending. You heard that at the end of the Genesis reading, the second or last part of the Genesis reading today. The focus tonight is on how long Joseph waited for the Lord to act for that good ending. Joseph was sold into slavery, we think, at about the age of 17. And it wasn't until he was 30 that he's actually called up to Pharaoh's court to interpret that dream that he interprets in Genesis 41. It was a long period, about 13 years, that most of which time Joseph was languishing in a prison cell. It must not have been all the comforts of the Hampton Inn, because we're told he shaved and changed clothes. He was probably pretty grimy in that prison. Before he met Pharaoh, he had to clean up and shave, etc. Well, although we don't have an exact time frame, I said it's about 13 years from the time that he sold into slavery, the Midianites take him, until that time when he comes to Pharaoh's court to interpret that dream for Pharaoh. And during that time, I'm sure there was a lot of discouragement. So Joseph tonight teaches us the value of waiting. Waiting for the Lord in faith. He's an example of a person for us who waited for God's plan to be revealed. And don't we often find ourselves in that situation, in a kind of dungeon or prison or difficult circumstances of one kind or another. And so we with Joseph hear these words of encouragement from the Old Testament. First from the psalmist, Psalm 135-6. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. And from Isaiah the prophet, we have this promise. He says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength with wings like eagles. And finally, the Apostle Paul reminds us we walk by faith, not by sight. So we base our hope on what will be, not what is. We walk and we wait in faith. And that beautiful hymn, Be Still My Soul, so much epitomizes that with the emotion, the feelings, the words. We wait by faith. Joseph spent the prime years of his life behind bars in a prison. An innocent man among criminals. And he waited for the Lord to rescue him. Not a sign of weakness, but of faith. Not a sign of fear, but of faith. Not a sign that he was wasting his life, but that God had not yet revealed his plan to Joseph. And we find ourselves often in similar situations of waiting in what feels like weakness. And fear, and a sense of futility or wasting away. Joseph spent the prime time of his life behind bars. I said, an innocent man among criminals. You know as well as I do that waiting is not easy. Waiting is difficult, very difficult for us human, sinful beings. We hate to wait. Let's consider some examples. How about the traffic light, waiting for it to change? I hate to wait. Sometimes at that schnook store in O'Fallon, instead of waiting by that light, I'll go around the other side where there's just a stop sign so I can get through it. And then getting ready for this sermon, the internet wouldn't work. So I've got my desktop, and I do what they tell you. You know, you turn it off, you turn it back on, and then you pull out the plug, you wait 30 seconds, and you put in the plug, no internet. So then I went to my laptop, no internet. Finally, I call Spectrum. There's an outage in your area. Waiting is not an easy thing for me, and probably not for you either. Whether it be the internet or whether it be waiting in line at a grocery store or some other business place, whether it be some other kind of waiting that you might be involved with, maybe at the post office. So many things we have to wait for them to happen, to find our place in line. Waiting can be frustrating. There's a different kind of waiting, though. Waiting for our gracious God to draw us deeper into faith and a greater hope. When we're assaulted by accusations and persecution, as Joseph was, we need to wait patiently for God. When we face chronic illness or serious pain, we need to go to God for help. When we're facing some other problem, maybe a temptation, the loss of a job, or maybe it's something else, our savings account is drained away, or a loved one has passed away, something in life that we're just hanging on by a thread, as it were, it's not easy to wait. And always the solution is the same. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Wait on God to reveal His plan to us. To take it out of our own hands and put it into the nail-scarred hands of Jesus on Calvary's cross. Remember, He's in control. Yes, waiting. Peter is a good example of how not to wait. It's part of the Lenten series. We didn't actually hear the reading. But Peter teaches us what not to do. Boldly, Peter had professed his loyalty to Jesus. Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. But what does Peter do at the first sign of trouble? He distances himself from Jesus out in the courtyard. And then he sort of saves his own skin by his response when he's accused three times, actually. It says, I do not know him, referring to Jesus. At the time that Jesus was being led to trial and to torture, it would have been a good time for Peter to be in waiting and prayer instead of denying Jesus three times. Faithful waiting doesn't come naturally to us any more than it did to Peter, and I suspect also for Joseph. Unlike them, we know where things are headed. We're going to have a great and glorious ending. I'll say more about that later in the service. But at various times, it doesn't seem that way. We know what God has in store, but Joseph, in his difficult times as he waited, never would have dreamed that he would be one of the highest officials in Pharaoh's court. Never would have dreamed that in his prison dungeon. He never would have dreamed that he would rise to have the answer for the famine to feed the world of that time, Egypt and around that place. No, he never would have dreamed those things. And Joseph didn't deserve them. But God revealed his will. God revealed his will. Joseph received them. And Joseph helped others in God's plan. In Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself. See this comparison between Joseph and Jesus. They're both a source of confidence and hope, the basis of faithful waiting. Like Joseph, Jesus was a true son of Israel. Like Joseph, Jesus sank into the depths of darkness, suffering, and death. Like Joseph, Jesus was raised up to new heights after his death. And also like Joseph, Jesus rescued the world, not from famine, but from sin and death. In Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself. He was making peace for us between God and us. As Paul says, not counting our trespasses against us. God not counting them. Jesus is God's much-loved Son who came down from heaven for our salvation. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death. Yeah, even death with criminals on a cross, an innocent man among criminals. But now God has exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Bow down before the great God of heaven and earth. Bow down before Jesus in praise and thanksgiving, giving glory to God the Father. What a change. What a change we have to look forward to. Our lives unfold much like Joseph's did, not quickly and not seamlessly without difficulties, but often with some major problems. And so we wait. But hopefully, as we hear from Joseph and Jesus, we wait with greater patience and confidence in our Savior. But when we are in those dungeon days here on this earth and life drags on and we're waiting, Luther summarized the waiting for us like this. I know that I've been baptized, that I've eaten the body and drunk the blood of the Son of God, that I have been absolved by divine authority, that all my sins have certainly been forgiven me, and that victory over the devil, death, and hell has been promised. What more should I ask for? That is what Joseph concluded, Luther says. And it certainly is a basis for us to be encouraged as well. Let's trust God in our good days, in our bad days. In times of great blessing and times of burdens. Through Jesus, our sin is atoned for. Our guilt is taken away. Heaven is standing open there, ready to hear us, ready to help us. For now, like Joseph in his day, we have good days and we have bad days. We have triumphs and tragedies. Our life here now is kind of like the breaking of a stone that gets, either by God or circumstances, cut away, broken away, piece by piece, with the difficulties of life, with crosses and troubles. But in the heavenly Jerusalem that awaits us, there'll be no hammer clashes. No cries and no howls. All that hammering and breaking and difficulty will be in the past. The ending of our story, our stories, will be a joyful one in heaven. That we can be assured. And I hope you take that with you and feel that assurance, that peace, that power for your life from this evening on, through those difficult days that await you. Remembering, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. Once more, the people of God said, amen.